Hi, welcome to the secret room. What's your secret?
My mother is a hoarder, and she hoards things and cats. You can walk up to the door and smell the urine. I won't even bring my husband over there. It's so gross, and I'm so embarrassed that I can't even tell him.
Test 1, 2. Welcome to the secret room. Tell me when you're ready. Are you all set? Okay. Hey everyone, it's Ben. Today, my guest joins us from Athens, the same city where her secret went down 27 years ago.
Hi, my name is Sally. My secret is that I dated a mafia kingpin.
Sally gives us eyes inside a 1990s Greek crime syndicate and tells her firsthand account of the man who ran it.
I was 22.
Take me back to before any of this ever happened.
My life was in Athens, Greece. I was a college student studying child criminal psychology. Went to a very elite university, 500 students in the entire school. Private guards, armored cars, princes and princesses and delegates' children and things like that.
Upper crust.
Upper crust.
You're hanging with the glitterati. Okay.
She details the surprising way her romance started, what it was like inside the syndicate, and how she got out.
But I didn't ask a lot of questions. He was very charismatic. He's a big, brawny, muscular guy. Drove a really fast Bugatti.
How many people know your secret?
4 or 5 people in my family only.
You're listening to The Secret Room, a podcast about the stories no one ever tells. I'm Ben Hamm. Hi, Sally. Welcome to The Secret Room.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Tell me how you met this guy you ended up dating.
Well, before I met him, I had recently broken up with my fiancé, devastated. And my little sister and her boyfriend at the time says, we'd like you to go out on a blind date. So I get all dressed up and I go to this little bar in a port in Athens.
Press. Mm-hmm.
And in walks this very large, puffy guy.
Puffy.
Puffy because he looked like a professional bodybuilder. He comes in a 3-piece Italian suit. Very dashing. My sister and her boyfriend stood up. There was a group date in the beginning. So he walks in and he comes over and he greets me, hello. And he says, my name is Dulapinos, which was his, you know, gangster name, I guess. He sat down and he said, do you have pockets in your cape? I said, yes, I do. He towers over me and he puts 2 pistols in the pockets of my cape.
Good Lord. Oh my God. This is your introduction.
Yes, this was a hello. Nice to meet you. Hold my guns. I was a very shy girl, naive.
Did your younger sister and her boyfriend mm-hmm. see him put the guns in your pocket?
They did not.
What was your... I mean, you must have just frozen.
I did. I was like, oh, God. And I said, why are you giving them to me? He says, well, if the cops come in here to bust the place, they won't frisk you because they have to have a female cop with them in order to touch you.
So this wasn't like a sign to you that maybe you should bolt?
I think every girl has that fantasy that you have to date the bad boy. He was about as bad as you could get. Actually, he was a very nice person.
I'm sure.
Yeah. His real name was Michael. And he had a front, a fitness club, usually populated by his very loyal dogs, air quotes.
They might also be known as his torpedoes or his...
Torpedoes?
The guys that do his dirty work.
Yeah.
Okay,
they did his bidding. They were loyal to him above any others.
What kind of things do you have them do, specifically?
Protection up and down the coast of Piraeus for many, many miles. Strong-arming people. Later, I found out he also ran females. He had hookers. When the family found out that that's who I decided to date, my uncle is a police officer. He said, look, I need you to understand that his arrest record is cleaner than yours. And I was a good girl. So his was blank on purpose. He had made it blank. They said, you can't go out with him.
Yeah, of course they would say that.
Of course, the straight A student said, you can't tell me who I can date.
Why did you tell them in the first place?
Because it's Greek family drama. We are in each other's business to no end. So my sister and her boyfriend left.
And they're like, okay, we made the introduction.
Right, bye.
Everything's cool.
Yeah, bye.
You kids are on your own.
You kids are
on your own. Oh my God. Now, where did your sister meet this guy?
Her boyfriend. What's it called when you're at the front door of a bar?
He was a bouncer?
Face control.
Face control?
In Europe, they don't like what you look like. They're not going to let you in. My friend Michael had a lot of face control boys, bouncers in the clubs. I don't know how they were friends, but that was the connection.
But your sister's boyfriend,
yes.
He didn't know.
Oh, he knew.
Oh, he knew.
Oh, he knew.
Well, what's he thinking, setting up his girlfriend's older sister with a mafia kingpin?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he thought I could handle it.
Seems like poor judgment.
Well, and that's why he's her ex.
All right. This is very interesting. How did that first night together
play out? He said, let's go for a ride.
Oh, God.
So,
and your instinct was to say,
sure.
And you've still got his guns in your pocket.
In my pockets. Two little hand pistols in my pocket.
Well, he wants to get you out of there because he needs his guns back.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
So we get into this really great convertible Aston Martin. Ooh la la.
Yeah. Right. You're cruising around the streets of Athens?
No, we're actually going up and down the beach road collecting money.
Wow.
We would go to every bar. He would stand at the door. He would never go in. And he would say, tell so-and-so Dulapino's here. And they would greet him at every bar at the door with a pitcher of his favorite drink. And we would do shots of it. Several at every stop.
He must have been toasted by the end
of
the night.
He was fine. Yeah. I was toast.
He could handle his liquor.
Could handle a lot of things. So
sounds that way.
I'm just woozy more and more.
This is amazing. Your first date is to go around and shake down all his establishments for their protection money.
Yes.
So you're impressed?
It was thrilling in the night with the wind blowing your hair back and him not caring about red lights or police or nothing. God. Just
the guy's untouchable.
He's untouchable. Sorry. He's untouchable.
Yeah. Do you know how much he was collecting?
All I saw was a fat envelope. He got lots of fat envelopes.
And you didn't ask?
No.
I wouldn't have either.
No, it wasn't my business.
Well, he's making it your business a little bit. I mean, you are like a witness now. Are you an accessory at this point?
You have to understand the mentality of a young girl who is brought up in a very conservative home. You're raised to serve your man. He made me feel like a princess.
I bet he did.
Mm-hmm.
Bet he did.
He spent all of his attention on me.
You're out all night.
All night.
Just going to bars,
yes.
Collecting money, drinking shots.
So he brings me home at 5 o'clock in the morning and the sun has come up, pulls up in front of my home and drops me off. Hasn't touched me.
Okay, he's a gentleman.
A killer and a gentleman.
Oh, is he a killer?
Yeah.
Wow. Serious?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Mm.
Okay, so he drops you off.
And he asks me for my phone number.
Couldn't really say no, could you?
I didn't want to.
Okay, you didn't want to. You're like, why didn't you ask before?
Calls me a couple of hours later. He said, let's go for a ride.
So now you're going to go around to all the breakfast restaurants and get more money?
No, at this point he wanted to impress me, I think, a little bit more. So he pulls up in this very dangerous motorcycle and both of us without helmets. And I felt like the bike's tires never touched the ground.
So you're cruising, you got the Mediterranean.
On your right.
On your right.
The mountains on the left.
Mountains on the left. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful,
beautiful
day in Athens.
Yep.
Sun's shining on you, the wind's flowing through your hair.
Yeah. And you're not touching the ground.
Just on this dangerous motorcycle.
Bugatti.
Cruising. And where do you go?
We go to this little tiny hut. on the beach that made these really fabulous truffle French fries.
Okay, sounds delightful.
It was. It was absolutely romantic, yeah. And then he gets a phone call.
Oh boy. Oh my God.
And the phone call was one of his dogs had been hurt. He was in the hospital and we had to go see him because he had been hurt, strong-arming some client. We went to the hospital and went into the room where there were four other dogs around the gentleman's bed. And the dog in question had had his knee kicked in.
Now, why do I have a feeling that Michael is not going to put up with this bullshit?
He was very concerned about his dog. He paid for, in cash, all of the hospital bills right then and there and for whatever else he would need, and gave him money for his family until he got back on his feet again.
Perks of the job?
Perks of the job. That night on the news, I heard that there was a neighborhood that had been shot up. And I called him right away and I said, why did you do that? I go, was that you? So I reprimanded him.
So how did he take it? You know, a 22-year-old giving him the business.
He never raised his voice to me. He laughed. He thought it was amusing that I was so upset. Meanwhile, his handiwork was all over the news. He had shot up this neighborhood. And I said, you could have hurt a child. What's wrong with you? And he laughed and he said, no, I knew what I was doing. The cops had no clue who it was.
Was anybody hurt?
No, I guess it was just scare tactics. Like, I know who you are. I know what you did. I'm coming for you. I never heard anything else.
Somebody wasn't paying or something.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? So, you know, Sally, at this point, somebody who's dating this guy might say, this is enough. You know, this is my exit point. It's all been thrills, but now people are getting shot. Maybe I'm going to go back to my upper crust school, get back to my studies, hang out with the glitterati there.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do?
I stayed.
The fast life was just really alluring.
I came from a very strict home, didn't have a lot of freedom.
Carpe diem.
Carpe diem.
Living life to the fullest.
And then some.
And so
he introduced me to his mother. His father had passed away. We go to this woman's home. He lived with his mother, which is a little funny.
Wow. Why?
Because he paid all the bills.
He could pay all the bills and live somewhere else.
She was alone. He was the only child, and she had a gambling problem. So he was always paying off her gambling debts. So at some point, we're in the house. She meets me, and she goes off on her merry way, and he says she's going to a game. She's going to go play. We're in the house watching television on the couch. The house is quiet. And then we heard a creak. A door, something creaked. He flew over me in 3 seconds over the couch, reached into the side table and pulled out a gun.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, that's exactly what I said. And he confessed to me that day how scary it is to be at the top because there's always a target on your back.
Isn't it kind of dangerous for his mom for him to be living with her?
He's a mama's boy. It's sad. Sad but true. Meanwhile, a couple weeks later, he says, I'd like you to come with me to a lunch to meet some people. And I was like, why? You want me to be arm candy or something? Because I was in his face all the time. And he said, no, you might like them. I went, okay. So the day came and he had booked out a restaurant. It was the chief of police, the mayor of Piraeus, and Michael and I in a restaurant. I was at first taken aback. And the real shock, Ben, came when they all took out guns and were comparing them to see whose was better.
So they're all in bed together.
Mm-hmm. Literally, like you said before, untouchable.
They're all running this town together.
Yes.
A reasonable question might be to ask, could you verify from things that you saw that the mayor and the chief of police were getting money from Michael?
I didn't see money change hands.
Mm-hmm. But they were.
They had each other on speed dial, let's just say.
So who had the biggest gun?
I don't remember. I was a little terrified. I don't think any of them were legal.
So you were terrified.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still in it for the thrills.
Yeah. So my uncle, the police officer, comes to me again and he says, I need you to know that he's running whores. He's also a pimp.
And you had no idea?
I had no idea. I was indignant, of course, in front of the uncle, and then I went straight to Michael. I barged into his gym and I started yelling.
In front of everybody?
In front of everybody.
In front of all the dogs?
All the dogs and the customers. The dogs at this point, their eyes are wide open. They're going, oh God, she's going to die. And I'm cursing. It's not pretty. Tell me where he is now. And they're like, okay, he's downstairs in the office. So I marched my little butt downstairs and I slammed the door behind me. And I said, what the hell do you think you're doing? I said, you're running women on the streets? I go, so what did you want with me? To try the merchandise and turn me out?
Okay, how'd that land?
I think he was trying to hold his temper and he was a little amused that I wasn't afraid. There was a man in the office when this happened, one of his close boys, and he dismissed him. So it was just the two of us. So then I really started yelling and just letting him have it. Like, how could you do that? You're exploiting women and you're disgusting and this and that. Then I stormed out, slammed the door behind me, and I left a lot of dogs in my wake with their eyes open and their jaws on the ground. Like, nobody talked to him that way.
You did.
I did. Because he was just a man. And I didn't agree with what he was doing. I didn't agree with a lot what he was doing. And I told him so. There were always people watching me. I'd go out with friends to clubs, which was the norm for a 20-something girl in Athens. And the face control would wink at me because they knew who I was. I never paid for my drinks anywhere I went. I never got stopped by the bouncers. Everybody knew who I was. One evening, a very unfortunate young man tried to get my attention at a bar where I was with several friends. He tried to pick me up. I denied his advances. I wasn't interested. He was very upset and he put his hand on me, tried to pull me back to him to get my attention. Four very large gentlemen picked him up and took him outside.
And?
Beat the crap out of him.
How'd that make you feel?
Awful. He was just flirting with a girl. I was looking to be picked up, and there were orders to hurt anyone who touched me, who disrespected me.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever talk to that guy?
No. I don't know who it was.
Yeah. Wow.
It's not easy. It's not easy knowing that you're responsible for that. I felt very responsible.
It wasn't your fault.
No, but if I hadn't gone out with good old Michael, then this young man wouldn't have had to be put into a taxi and sent home. Things like that happened a lot. Like I said, he would have me followed all the time. And when I would come home from work at night, as soon as I closed my door behind me, the phone would ring because someone had already given him the signal. She's going up the stairs. She's in her house. I knew it was him.
Yeah. How did you feel about being followed and surveilled like that?
I wasn't afraid. It was strangely comforting.
Were you worried at all that you might step out of line and some fate might befall
no,
you?
No, because I had a chip on my shoulder. I had this crazy idea that I got this. I could control him. Stupid. Young and stupid.
So I guess he kept running prostitutes even after you gave
him
the business.
He did.
How'd you guys resolve that?
After several months, I left him. I told him I can't do this anymore.
And, you know, what were the factors that led you to that decision?
My fiancé came back into my life. So I went to Michael and I said, you knew that I was engaged and he's back. And I said, and you're a really great guy.
Yeah.
But your lifestyle, he was really sweet to me. He was really sweet.
I think he's, you know, another person's worst fucking nightmare.
That's putting it mildly. But he was very smitten and he was very sweet. He was very sad when I left.
Did he cry?
He didn't cry, but he said, if he ever hurts you, you come to me. If you ever need anything, you'll come to me.
Could you still call him today?
He was killed years later.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
I had moved away and I got a phone call one day from my mother. Brace yourself. She said Michael was killed.
Damn. Did your heart just fall through the floor?
I was really sad. You know, I always hoped that he would kind of like fix his life, but you don't get out of that life.
Yeah. How old was he when he was killed?
Early 40s.
What was the method?
It was a gunshot on the street.
Gangland shooting. This was in Athens.
In Athens, yeah.
So, Sally, you said that he was a killer.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
His conversations of people that went against his business.
Yeah.
They disappeared.
Huh. Did he do any of that dirty work himself that you know of?
I think so. He would say he had no choice to control his reign on things, to prove that he was still the boss. He still did dirty work.
Wow, tough man. Did he use guns?
Uh-huh.
Anything else? Blunt force?
I think he hurt people with his hands. He was very strong. He was a very big guy.
Yeah, puffy.
Puffy. He's very puffy.
Was there ever any time that you felt unsafe in his presence?
I never felt unsafe in his presence, Ben.
He never raised a hand to you?
Not ever. Never raised his voice. Never raised an eyebrow.
Even when you were screaming at him?
Nope. Even when I screamed at him, his boys were afraid. He just kind of thought I was funny. He said, nobody talks to me that way. I said, well, you're not in the relationship with them. You're in the relationship with me.
Sounds like he kind of liked it in you.
He did. I think he respected it, that I wasn't just a bimbo, that I was a woman that was educated.
So during the time that you're dating him,
mm-hmm.
did any of your friends know? Like, what did you tell friends who you were hanging out with, who you're dating?
Well, you have to understand, I had broken up from a long-term engagement. I did have 3 close girlfriends at university, and they were like, you can't be with him. And I was like, but you don't understand. He's a good person inside.
Do you still feel that today?
That he was a good person?
Yeah.
I do. I feel that a lot of good people do unexpected, unusual things in difficult circumstances.
I feel like people listening to this podcast are going to say, no, that guy's not a good person. He kills people. He shakes them down for money. He's busy running whores.
And he loved his mother.
He was a mama's boy.
And he loved me.
But that does not a good person make.
He didn't like the lifestyle. He didn't like it. He wanted to get out of it. He didn't see another way.
It does sound like you're making excuses. How did he get into the lifestyle? Family?
It was family.
Yeah. Do you know who took him out? And do you know why?
Michael?
Yeah.
No, but I'm thinking it was someone who wanted to take his place.
Right. How much later was this?
Many years. Maybe 15 years.
Did you ever talk to him again after you broke up?
I went back and I saw him a couple of years later. I walked into the gym.
Just unannounced.
Just unannounced.
Whoa.
I know, ballsy.
Yeah.
There was a wonderful side to him that I don't think he showed a lot of people, but he showed me. I wasn't afraid. I just walked in and I said, how are you? And he's like, it's so good to see you. And, you know, how's business? Business is good. He had bought a second gym. He was laundering money through it.
Huh. Did he ever give you any money?
Never.
Jewels?
Never.
Expensive gifts?
He tried, but I never accepted anything. I wanted to know what made him tick. What made him be able to hurt one person and then be so kind and gentle with me.
Did you ever get an answer to that?
As a almost 50-year-old woman now, I think there's 2 sides to everybody. The best person pushed to an extreme will change his colors. There's a switch, I think, that's flipped. I'd kill someone if a child was in danger. I'll cut first and ask questions later.
So you went back to your fiancé?
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine that you kept this from him.
I did.
You did? How on earth did you keep that from him?
Because my fiancé was from a little island with 800 inhabitants.
And that's a reason to keep it from him?
He didn't need to know. I didn't ask him what he did while we were separated.
Okay. You were protecting him.
I was.
Better not to know.
It's better not to know. He passed away last year.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. He was a good man.
To his dying day, he never knew.
He never knew. He never knew.
How do you feel about that?
It was irrelevant. It wasn't part of us. I think it's a good trait to learn how to compartmentalize in your life. Not everything has to bleed together.
Why did you want to tell your secret in the secret room today?
There is such a thing as a mafia. People need to understand they're just people. They're just doing their best, like all of us.
I'm not sure I agree with that one, but I think we're just going to have to leave it there.
Oh my God.
So 27 years later, Sally still finds herself under Michael's spell. To her, he was just a man that, despite a life of crime, was still capable of tenderness and love. Sally's sharing a couple of pictures for you. In one, from back in the day, she hams it up for the camera, bikini-clad and on a Greek beach. And in the next, she weds her fiancé not long after her affair with Michael ended. They look happy. I just wonder what he did during their breakup. We'll never know. Both pictures are yours for the taking right now at facebook.com/secretroompod. And before we get out of here, producer Susie Lark joins me. She's got something to say about our social media presence, such that it is.
Got a message on Twitter that some of our listeners, including Shelley, are not on Facebook.
Are they Luddites?
What?
I don't know. Who's not on Facebook?
People who don't want Mark Zuckerberg giving away their personal information.
This is a good era not to be on Facebook. You're right. I take it back.
So I thought, you know, for those of people who aren't on Facebook, now you can head over to Instagram, see all the posts there.
Wow, so cool.
Yeah.
Have you loaded pictures back all the way from, like, the beginning of time?
Yeah, I nearly broke my thumbs on my cell phone loading the pictures up one by one.
What possessed you to program our entire Instagram feed on your phone?
It's hard to watch ER episodes one after the other from a computer in another room, so I'm multitasking.
So you did not apply your full attention to the task?
Not to ER, but definitely to Instagram.
Okay, good.
Did you catch my eye roll there?
Yeah.
Just checking, okay.
It doesn't come across on the radio, though.
Darn. Insert eye roll.
Our snappy new Instagram handle is Secret Room Pod. You can see an archive of all Secret Room photos on Instagram right now. A big welcome is due to all the new listeners who saw us featured in Op Rocks. Stick with your new podcast a while. We've got a cozy community going. And thank you to Op Rocks for listing The Secret Room as one of the top 10 storytelling podcasts to listen to right now. That's got a nice ring to it. There are 9 other great podcasts listed, so check them all out if you're looking for new pod. I'll drop the link in the show notes. You can stray, but just remember where your heart belongs, right here, with your favorite little podcast that could. Okay, Sally, you're up. Who composes our awesome theme and music?
Oh, it's absolutely, of course, Breakmaster Cylinder.
Yeah.
This week on social, Sally's pictures from today's story. Also, bite-sized pod secrets and a couple of personal pictures from a California adventure I had last week. What a beautiful state. See you all on your favorite social, facebook.com/secretroompod, Twitter, and now Instagram. All handles are Secret Room Pod. Please like, share, and follow this podcast that's here for you. I know you want to get a small piece of the show for yourself, and you can stake your claim by joining us with a story of your own.
Send it to share@secretroompodcast.com.
Perfection. Good job.
Thanks, as always, to the Street Seeker team and to producer Susie Lark. I'm Ben Hamm, and this is The Secret Room. Pod on.
Pod on.
So, how do you keep that secret from your husband?
I just don't tell him. Whenever he, like, wants to get together with my mom, we meet at a restaurant.
Clever.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way I could let him know.
The Secret Room t-shirts are back on Amazon Prime with free returns. Check them out in men's and women's styles in 5 great colors. Just search for The Secret Room Podcast on Amazon. Thanks.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.